Welcome, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I just want to say that Pastor Jim is still not feeling well today. So if you could please, please remember him and his family in your prayers. In fact, let's pray right now. Dearest Father in heaven, we come before you a grateful and appreciative people. We come before you a people happy to worship you, pleased that we have a place to worship, so very thankful and grateful. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for our pastors that you've given us. And Lord, we just ask that you would cover our pastor and his family and your many blessings, that you would just protect them from illness and from anything that Satan would throw at them, Lord. Lord, we come before you ready to learn from your word, eager to hear from your spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so if I were to ask you the question, what does being set free mean? Anybody?
Delivered.
Jeremiah.
Chains are gone.
Oh, man, stop reading my notes. Okay, all right. What's that?
Born again.
Okay, all answers are good. Would you say that everyone has something they need to be set free from? Something that's maybe holding them back, if you will, from knowing God, from a deeper relationship with God, right? Your stuff is different from this guy's stuff over here. They're all different, but we know that all sin and fall short the glory of God, and we know that sin is sin. And we all know we need a Savior. All right, so I want to talk a little bit about a guy who had a real serious need for being set free. I mean, this never has there been a guy you can read about in Scripture that's had a bigger need for being set free from the things that were possessing him and holding him back, holding him down, keeping him from family, keeping him from fellowship with other believers. We're going to go over to the book of Mark real quick, and forgive me if I flip around, but I love Scripture, and I know that Scripture explains Scripture, so we're going to use that today. We're going to start off chapter 5, verse 1, and we're talking about a story of Legion. Who here has heard that story before? All right, Legion. Let's read about them, because some do and some haven't. Let's refresh. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. I just butchered that name, please forgive me. But when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tomb to meet him. The man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with the stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his lungs, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out, went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Wow. Who is this guy that can make the demons just so afraid? What were they afraid about? Well, the demons knew exactly who he was. They knew exactly who he was, and they were scared because they understand in the final judgment, they know what's going to happen to them. And when they heard his very voice, it probably shook them to the core, all right? They knew who was in front of them. They're like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. I got to tell you, whatever your problem is, whatever is inside of you that's keeping you from a relationship with Jesus, can be fixed by Jesus. With nothing more than a word. All right? Now, this man, he said when he came up to Jesus, he had been hooting and hollering through the countryside, living in tombs. No one wanted to be around him. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you were so caught up in self, you're so hard to be around, maybe so angry, so violent, that people just don't want to be around you, so they'd rather let you sleep in a cemetery than to enjoy fellowship with you or to even try? This is what this man was dealing with. He would yell at the end of the night. He would cut himself. There's a spirit of depression that's been going through this world since the Garden of Eden, I believe. All right? That causes people to do such things. That causes people to feel that there's no love, that they have to go and take their lives or mark their bodies up and hurt themselves. I got to tell you, every person who has ever existed has one basic need, and that's Jesus Christ. And there's a hole inside every heart that no matter how hard you try to fill it with something else, it's going to be empty. It's always going to come up short. Jesus is the only thing that can fill it. Now, I got to tell you, in kindergarten, we learned in that little box thing that you put the shapes in, they can't put a circle in the square spot. It's the same thing with Jesus Christ. You can't put anything else in a place that was meant for him. And praise God in heaven that the demons didn't cause cause this man to run the other way in the opposite direction, because he needed what Jesus had. Amen. Very bad. All right, now the name Legion is pretty interesting. A legion constitutes about 6,000 to 8,000 soldiers. So when this demon talked to the Messiah, there was like 6,000 to 8,000 of these evil guys in there, tearing this guy up inside, hurting him, making him feel he'd rather die. There's another place in Scripture where I believe it's in Capernaum, where Jesus just comes into town and he comes to the synagogue, and all of a sudden a demon-possessed man shows up there, and he tried to throw himself on the fire. They said that he tried to drown himself. You know, last year, there was over 1,200 suicides in El Paso County. How's that? If you know the life-saving nature, if you know that Jesus is the type of Jesus who can heal the blind, who can make the lepers clean, who can tell the demons what to do, then we need to tell people about the love that he possesses. Amen. So that maybe that number will go down this year. Legion, he was tormented. And Jesus, in a word, said, "Come out of him." And they obeyed. That's my Jesus. Now let's flip over some more scriptures. We're going to go over to Romans for a little bit, because sometimes, even after you've had Christ cure what ails you, sometimes we still kind of go through a rocky way of life, don't we? Sometimes, even as Christians, we forget about the power that is in the name of Jesus. And we kind of start thinking about our situations, our stresses. I've got stresses. We've all got stresses. I've got 7 kids. I don't need to say anything else, right? I love my kids. And they're a blessing at the same time. And the stress is showing them a loving Father in heaven so that I raise godly men and women. There's stresses in our lives, stresses that can be cured by Jesus. But I got to say that the first part of this chapter in Romans is chapter 8, for those of you who are flipping off to the right there. I didn't mean to say flipping off. Should I have said that in church? Let's please not be confused. Flipping pages, okay? Flipping pages. Okay, and we come upon the subject of life through the Spirit, right? So it starts off in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We could stop right there. That's the cure to every depressive thought you've ever had. That's the cure to everything. And God never says he's going to fix everything for you, but he does hand you a really well-equipped tool bag. He gives you the ability. He shows you how to walk through and make it happen. He shows you how to show others to cure their the things that are possessing them. Now, as we are talking about, before we get too far into Romans, I'm reminded of another man that I personally met, because sometimes we look at Scripture and we're like, people don't get possessed by demons. That's mental illness. We need to give it medications, it's spiritual gifts. You know, sometimes, it's hard to believe in the gift of tongues because I've never personally really experienced it, but I know that it's relevant because I've seen so many other spiritual gifts. I've seen so many other ones. And the ability to cast out demons. Can people even really do that? Not in their own power. Good answer. No one can. It's only by the power of Jesus. You know, he says in the end of his time with the apostles, he says that all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. And then he goes on to tell him to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He extends that power and authority to us, his vassals here on earth. So if he needs you to cast out a demon, are you ready? If he needs you to tell someone about Jesus Christ, are you ready? If he needs you to just share your testimony, are you ready? Hopefully we'll be ready. All right, but one time I'm sitting here, I'm driving in my van, I'm listening to some praise and worship media. I like the rowdy stuff like Skillet and Lecrae, you know what I mean? A little thuggish Christian stuff, all right? Or a little hard head-banging Christian music, all right? It just kind of gets me in the spirit because I like to evangelize and talk about Jesus. So when I listen to this stuff, I'm like jumping and I'm ready to go. Woo! I cannot go to bed without telling someone about Jesus today, all right? So I'm listening to my jam, and I see this dude over here on the stop light, and he's kind of like this, and he's kind of can't keep his hands still. He's looking all over the place, and I look at him, and he's got, it looks like chicken pox all over his arm. It's like track marks all up and down his arm. I look at the other arm, sure enough, all up and down that one. I look up at his face. I see marks up here. He was shooting in his face. And I was like, oh, he needs Jesus. Someone, God send someone to him. And then I drove on. All right. Well, you know, when the Spirit wants you to do something, he has a way of making it happen. So I drive on, and I get over to another spot, another intersection up by the Walmart I'm heading up to. And I'm like ADD. You know, I see a squirrel, and I go chasing it. So I take the long way around to Walmart. But he got there before me. And he's at the intersection again, so I notice him again. And I'm like, oh, Lord, man, he really needs you. All right? And then I drove into the parking lot. Yeah, see my son shaking his head over here. I drove into the parking lot. I'm like, Lord, someone's possessing him, Lord. Someone needs to cast that out. Someone needs to tell him about you if he's never heard about you. But I don't know what he needs, but I know he needs you. Because what he's doing is going to kill him quick, and he's so young. He couldn't have been but 20. All right, now I go park. I park near the back of the parking lot because I got a big van, and it's hard to find a spot that you can fit into. So I park near the back, and I walk up, and guess who's sitting right there at the front door? I have this three strikes thing. If something happens three times, I have to do it, even if I don't want to. I just got it. It's kind of compulsive. I can't even help myself. So I went up to him, and I stood there like I was over here next to Barry. I just started staring at him. I was like, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do, but I didn't know how to do it. And like our friend pointed out, the thing that I needed to think of was that I needed to ask Jesus to give me the power. Jesus to give me the words. Jesus to just use me like a dentist would pick up a hammer. And I'm just staring at him like this. See, he's getting uncomfortable. You can imagine how this guy was feeling, right? He was ready to crawl out of his skin. And I looked at him, and when he realized I was looking at him, and he made a little eye contact with me, and he goes, "What?" And I was like, "What happened to your arms, man?" I already knew. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt, unfortunately. All right, already knew. I was like, "What happened to your arms?" And he looked at me with this kind of maniacal look, and he's like, "Do you really even want to know?" I was like, "Yeah, I do. I do want to know. I care. I love you, even though I don't know you. I love you, and I want to know." And the guy tells me, he says, "I suffer from severe anxiety and heroin use." I was like, probably part of the anxiety problem there. I looked at him, I was like, "You know that's going to kill you?" He goes, "Yeah, hopefully." I was like, "Oh, man. Have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life, man? Have you ever gone to a church?" And he says, "Yeah, once a week for years." I was like, "Oh, that's not the same, dude." I was like, "That's not the same, man." I was like, "You know what? I've got a solution for you. In fact, I'll tell you about Jesus because he's the one that's actually got the solution, okay? And I could do something, but I got to tell you, I know from Scripture that if you do not get your heart right before the Lord after I do what I'm going to do, that you will open yourself up to no end of torment and trouble. That if I do what I'm going to do here, that if the Lord does this with me, that you are going to have 7 demons come back and clean your clock because of the one that I cleaned out. And all because you did not fill that house with Jesus. You did not set the right guard. You didn't push the alarm button. You didn't protect yourself. So I can do this, but if you don't accept Jesus into your heart right this very second, it ain't going to work. And the next time you stick that needle in your arm, it might kill you. I had a friend die when he was sober. There's no more angelic voice singing praises to the King. He overdosed after 3 stints in rehab. Parents and friends had loved him. It's just as soon as he got around a certain crowd, those demons came back and they punched his lights out until he couldn't take no more. So I told him, I was like, "You want me to help you?" And he said, "Yeah." And I grabbed his hand and I said, "By the power and the blood of Jesus and the authority he gives to me, I say, come out of him now by his power." And I felt the most energized feeling I've ever felt in my life, just like an electric shock tried to come up my arm, and it bounced off my chest and just, I don't know where it went. Maybe into some pigs. But I'm protected by Jesus. I'm protected by his blood. I'm washed clean. I'm made new again. There's no condemnation for me, nothing for me to be depressed about because I am a child of the Most High King. Let's read a little bit more in Romans and we'll read a little bit about children of God. Okay, verse 2. "Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, for what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires." We've heard it said by pastors again, all you have to do to give Satan his way, to have this miserable existence, is nothing. Just get up and do nothing. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible. Don't go to church. Do nothing. God will let you have your way if that's your what you want. If you are bound and determined to live in your sin, to live in your depression, he will let you have your way, but it breaks his heart. Those nails he took into his hands and into his feet are representative of those sins. They're my sins, they're yours. They're this young man I met at Walmart, they were legions. He took them on himself so that we might live, not in the spirit of depression, but in the spirit of power. Now, Scripture tells us that we're not, he doesn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. So if you suffer from depression tonight, all you got to do is ask Jesus into your heart and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. Because we'll hold each other up. We'll hold each other accountable. All right? Because there's not a person here who doesn't know what pain and suffering is. But as we're going to read in a little bit, you know, we share in suffering with Christ Jesus. If he can go through it, he showed us the way we can go through it. Let's see. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Live in your sin. Don't give it up. But there is no way you're going to be able to fake it. Eventually, it's going to come out. Whether it's noticeable by those of us around here tonight or that you go to church with, or whether it becomes evident because you say you're a Christian, you read your Bible, but where's the fruit? You know what I mean? I'm reminded Jesus one time was walking around with his buddies and that he was hungry, all right? And he was hungry and he sees in the distance a fig tree and he's like, I'm going to get a fig to eat. And he goes up and he grabs a fig, he wants to grab a fig. He reaches up and guess what he didn't find? No figs, okay? No figs. Here's the thing about fig trees, and maybe some of you didn't know, that the fig tree produces the leaf before the fruit. Or the fruit before the leaf. Sorry, backwards. The fruit before the leaf. So when Jesus saw this tree off in the distance, he saw the leaves, he saw the branches, and he says, that's going to have fruit. And when he got to there and didn't see fruit, it was a worthless tree. So he cursed it, and it withered, and it died. Don't be a tree without fruit. When the Lord comes to find, when he walks into this church, he says, see, Christians, he should feel his Holy Spirit. He should already be in here. Amen. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Let's keep reading. You, however, he's speaking to us or those of us who could become Christians, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your sin or your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. You ever get caught up worrying, where's the next meal coming from? You know, how am I going to pay the bills? I got too much month, not enough money. Right? If we're controlled by the Spirit, he will take care of our basic needs. He will make sure that we have life, and that abundantly. Right? But we got to be able to be yielded by the Spirit like a hammer, like I was saying before. The only way you're going to be yielded by the Spirit is if you stop resisting. It's either you're a Christian tonight and maybe there's a little bit more you could probably do with your relationship to cultivate that relationship. I know I could. All right? I know I could. Or you don't know Jesus tonight and you need him. I feel like there's someone here who just needs a touch from God tonight. Don't ignore that prodding feeling. Don't ignore that nagging feeling. If he wants to set you free, let him. Because I got to tell you, he's the only one who can do it. Okay? Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. The wages of sin is death. Point blank. Without the salvation of the Savior, we have nothing. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. You know, that brings to mind right here, when my children are afraid, who do you think they call? They call out to the Father. And it brings to mind something to me that I should be like these little children. And when things are rough, when depression hits, when life hits, when stress hits, finances hit, the new calling in your life hits, man, you can get through it if you just have Jesus. Amen. You don't have to be a slave to fear. Is it going to work? Is it not? I've got new things coming up in our lives that there's plenty to be afraid of. But I know that if it's God who's guiding, it's God who's going to provide. And I don't have to live by a spirit of fear, because he gave me a spirit of power. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if we indeed share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Man, sometimes you get through and you're like, what good was this day? Why did I have to go through that? How does that glorify God? You know how it glorifies God is when the next man down the street who has his own issues and his own things to deal with sees you bearing up, acting different from the rest of the world. And he knows you got struggles. But he's like, why is he able to handle it and I'm not? What has he got that I don't got? Jesus. Why do I feel so burdened? It's because you're chained and you need God to set you free. Jesus is a chain breaker. Amen. But man, the enemy would love to pull you down. Love to keep you burdened by those chains, keep you wrapped tight. And as soon as you start loosening up, he doesn't give up, man. He sends more at you. What's the people of God cannot be possessed by the devil, but they sure can be oppressed. Oh, man, he's trying everything he can do to make you not live by the Spirit. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. A creation waits with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. You turn on the news, you can feel it. This earth is groaning for the time of Christ to come. There's so much sin and deception. Honestly, to be honest, we live in days that are much like Sodom and Gomorrah. Not just sinful, not just all about our lusts and our stuff, all right? Not just turning away from God, but it's like we're proud of it. We're in a world that more and more people are not just turning away from God, they're proud of the fact that they've turned away from God. It's not enough just to be atheists anymore. Are they going to take pride in it? You ever find yourself saying, come, Lord, quickly? Maybe there's a reason why he hasn't. Maybe there's more people out there that need you to show them Jesus so they can be set free. Amen. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons and the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. If you ever find yourself saying, "Come, Lord, quickly," when you think about all the depression and the sadness and the pestilence and the crap you see in this world, maybe there's a reason he hasn't come yet. Maybe we should be patient because we know that we're adopted into the family. We know where we're going. So maybe we shouldn't be asking God to hurry that day up because there's still people that he loves that need to know him, that need to be set free. Got hope? I do. It's Jesus. He set me free. He could set anyone free. Paul refers to himself as chief among sinners. He knew where he came from and he knew what Christ set him free from. He knew what he delivered him from. Different from legions things, but the need was still there. And it was the same. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. God's got your back. All right? You think it's hard? He's got you. He'll intercede for you. It says later in this chapter, it says that there's one there that intercedes on our behalf. That is amazing to me. He's up there pleading our case before the Lord. Pleading your case, pleading the guy's case on the street corner who's begging for change, who doesn't know him. He's pleading all their cases. Everyone has a need to be set free from Jesus. You say, how can I, who have been through so much, what makes me able to tell people about Jesus? Just remembering the fact that it's not your efforts that led people to Jesus, but as it tells us in Ephesians, all right, that we are saved by grace. It's a gift from God so that no man can boast. All right? We point people to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We point people to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can find hope in Jesus Christ. I've got a video that I'm about to share. It's titled Set Free. It's a skit, all right? Some music on it. I really think that there's something in there for someone in here tonight. So please, if you feel something nagging at the back of your mind tonight, to just talk to the Lord about it. Got a video?
Came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night and carries me away. Set me free. Anybody out there hearing me? me crying in the rain. All alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Jesus, rescue me, set me free.
Free? You notice this video illustrates what Jesus does so powerfully and so beautifully. He walked into the room and with a motion of his hands, the demons fell. With a word, he can cure you of what is hurting you today. They have to obey him. You know, I once saw a picture of Jesus arm wrestling Satan. It was great graphics and everything, but it made me mad. It was so ridiculous because there is no competition. The next picture in that comic would be Satan smashed through a table, splinters everywhere.
Come on.
Jesus holds. Let's read a verse in Revelations, and I'm going to read it with you just because I want you to mark it in your Bibles. Because tonight, you know that video, the message tonight is for someone here. He has the ability to set you free. All you have to do is ask. Be willing to come or be willing to have someone that you love well enough. If they're not willing to come, man, drag your friend up here. Be a good friend. Fact of the matter is, if I walk out on the street and I see someone getting ready to hit by a bus, I'm going to be like, hey, a bus! Makes sense, right? Well, the fact of the matter is whoever your friend is that's not accepting the Lord, he needs you to tell him he's about to get hit by a bus. He needs Jesus. It's the most real thing you've ever said to anyone. All right, so let's turn to chapter 1 of Revelations. And you know what? Let's do something different. Let's read it together. Chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read it together. If you don't have a Bible with you, it's right up here. You ready? Revelation 1, verse 18 says this: I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Jesus holds the key to deliver you from bondage. Try as hard as you might, you'll never be able to do it yourself. I've delivered this message on one-on-one conversations with people before, and we would do something like put them tape or something around their hands, and they would try to break out. And as soon as they get close enough to breaking, I'd put some more tape or tie some more rope around them. And the harder they tried, the bigger the problem, the bigger the knot, the bigger the problem. Until they realized that there was, the whole time as I'm winding this around, talking to them about scriptures, that there is, I'm holding the key in my hand. It's a pair of scissors that could have cut them. All right? Well, Jesus is those scissors. He can cut your bondages free. Just like that young man who was trying so hard to get to him. And the demons were pulling him down. He did not stop. And when the demons couldn't get up, Satan's getting up and he's doing it. And he's coming at you and he's trying with everything he's got to tear you down. He wants roommates in hell. He'll do everything. He won't stop. But the power of God is so much greater than the power of the world and the power of Satan. The power of God can set you free, and it can do it tonight. Jesus is that one who is alive, who was dead. Jesus is the one talking there in Revelations. And he holds the key. It's the power of life over death. The power of eternal life or eternal hell. Which is it? Who wants to be set free tonight? If you're feeling a tug on your heart, I would like you to just come up to the altar tonight. You know, Paul talked to Timothy about something very similar to this. He talks about that public confession. He says that when the laying of hands came on you in front of so many witnesses, right? If you have something that you need set free from today, now is the perfect time to do it, and here in front of so many witnesses, because there's support. People that will hold you up and love you and embrace you. They know what they've been there. Maybe they even got something to be able to add to your life. I'll be here in the front to pray, or out there to pray with you guys if anyone needs it. But let me tell you, I'm going to leave with my most favorite thing to say, especially when no one gets up and you just know someone here needs Jesus tonight. A lot of people wait till the 11th hour to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And those same people die at 10:30. I love you guys. I love the Lord Jesus with all my heart. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who came to this earth to identify with us, to show us that we can get through it, to show us there is a way. It's not lost, hopeless cause. You experienced everything so that we could see that, we can understand that you get us. We thank you for healing blind people, for giving them sight, Lord. There's no difference between me and those blind men you healed. There's no difference between me and the lepers you cleaned. There's no difference from Lazarus who you raised from the dead. We all need you. We need you desperately. And for those of us who know you, I ask, Lord, that you just come into our lives and our hearts in spirit and in truth, that you remind us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, so that we can maybe extend that love to others. And Lord, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if anyone needs you now, let them raise their hand. Let them raise their hand. Let's see your hands. Let them raise their hand. And all you have to do is say this one simple prayer: Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising on the third day and that promise of eternal life. And Lord, I ask that you just stay with me to help me stay up and to stay strong, to persevere, to bear up under persecution, and to show others your face. We love you. We worship you. We praise you. In your name we pray, amen. You're all dismissed. Thank you.